Muddy Knees Media.
Hello and welcome to the Offside Rule. I'm Kate Borsay. Hola! And this week, 3 is the magic number with goals galore in the midweek fixtures. Good thing is, on top of it, we've got a very able trio here today. Alongside me, first up, still licking her wounds from defeat to West Ham. What's going on at Wolves? Oh. Lindsay Hooper.
Oh, what a week. I've had a real rotter. I did some awful predictions. And then I had to go and watch that. West Ham Wolves. Oh, dear.
An absolute trumping it was too. And with us, as ever, Sky Sports News anchor and mama extraordinaire, Hayley McQueen. Hi, Hayley.
Well, hi. Thank you very much indeed. What an introduction. What a week. I've been busy at work, which makes a change because of late I've just been swanning on in, having a cup of tea, sitting down, just in the peace and quiet of a studio. But it's kind of all ramping up now, isn't it, with transfers and everything's just started to get super, super busy. So, yeah. My baby brain has had to be switched over to something else. I'm trying to brain train. Lindsay Hooper gave me,
Did she?
Thank you. You gave me a while ago a brain training app. And genuinely, I've had to do it because
I wish
at the moment,
it works.
I'm struggling to string a sentence together unless it's on auto cue. So,
well, hopefully
fingers
you'll
crossed.
Make it through to the end of this podcast. Of course, we are unscripted and unadulterated. Well, no, I don't think we're unadulterated. But anyway, listen, I've been amused this week. And I just wondered, Hayley, as things ramp up at Sky Sports News, and I'm thinking of transfer deadline day coming up as well, will you be caught short a bit like Eric Dyer? Hilarious scenes there as he just nipped off and nipped back onto the pitch again. Anyone ever been caught short, ladies?
Hayley used to have those mammoth shifts, didn't you? Five or 6 hours.
Yeah, but the problem is now we single head present. So if you need the loo,
it's
like being a child. You have to remind them now, do I need to go to the toilet just before I go on air to make sure that because we have mic packs on as well, which are kind of strapped to the back of our dress. There's a one-way system at Sky now because of COVID. So you can't just nip through the little side door into the toilet like we normally would, because that's the side that people come into the studio, not out. So you have to go all the way round. So literally, if you're in trouble, the heels get kicked off and it's a sprint to the toilet and you cross your fingers that they've turned the microphone off, put it that way.
There is a lot to think about, because when you've got a mic pack as well, you've got to remember to catch it before it falls down the toilet.
Yes.
I've had that a few times.
Yeah.
And as a reporter, more so, I suppose, Hayley, than when you're in studio, but I'm in control, I suppose, more of the mic pack, so you can turn it off and on. And you'd like to think that people wouldn't listen in, but you turn it off if you remember.
Yeah.
It would be quite gross, wouldn't it, if people did listen in? But who knows? It takes all sorts. Coming up on this week's show, well, it's brought to you by the letter F for football. No reason at all, apart from we're just liking the letter F this week. So we're talking football forfeits, flipping the rules, and the final countdown. So let's get stuck in.
This news just in, listeners. The Athletic is extending its £1 a month offer for all new subscribers, meaning you can get unrivalled analysis and in-depth features from the very best football writers around, plus a brand new breaking news service and ad-free versions of all of The Athletic's podcasts for just a quid. This deal won't last forever, though, so don't miss out. Sign up today at theathletic.com/offside.
Okay, so straight into the final countdown. Hark, what's that sound? Is it Jim White ironing his yellow tie? Is he warming up for his breaking news? Straight over to Hibernian FC for the transfer of the window. And that can only mean one thing. If Jim White's warming up, it's transfer deadline day on the way. Hayley, I'd like some insight from you, please. How many yellow ties does Jim own?
Hundreds. But genuinely, I'm not just saying that, over exaggerating, hundreds.
Really?
And over the years, yeah, he collects them.
And does he get a special one for each year?
Yeah, oh, he has a different one. We started very bright and then it went to a sort of a pale lemon. And now it's sort of a, almost like a creamy lemon. He's had sort of yellow with little blue stripes across it. And then whoever he was presenting with quite often wore a navy or blue dress, you know, very Sky Sports. He's had one with little spots on it. But if you go into his wardrobe, he does have a lot saved. And what he does, if he's going to a charity event or if there's somebody, you know, we sometimes get visitors to the studio or we used to, he would sign a tie and give it to them. So aww, that's quite nice. So he's very conscious of that. And I think he keeps a few at home as well and gives them to, you know, sometimes when they're kids looking around the Talk Sport studios, or if he's off to an event, he'll pack a couple in his little bag.
I like that.
The bigger question is, does he iron them?
Oh, God, no. God, no.
Someone else irons them, Lindsay.
I don't think he would know how to switch an iron on. He's only just got the hang of his phone. He has that, you know, where you have giant text when you look at someone's phone. It's made like 10 times bigger. Yeah. Quite funny.
I think he's also got an option where there's a button where someone reads the text out for you as well.
More than likely.
Well, with the transfer window slamming shut on Monday, 5th of October, I want to know the deals, both of you, that you expect or you hope still to happen. So what still might be the activity before that date, before Monday? Hayley, let's go to you first. What are you expecting or hoping for?
Oh, gosh. Well, do you know what? I am just going to talk Manchester United because I think it's kind of the talk of the week, isn't it? There have been lots of criticism aimed at Manchester United. You know, people saying, well, why haven't they got a sporting director? Gary Neville kind of vented his frustration on social media about their, you know, the club's inability to get any deals done, saying, you know, they've had ample time to do that. They're looking at a potential deal for Alex Telles. They're also looking at Ainsley Maitland-Niles, I believe, as well, the Arsenal fullback. So we'll kind of see which one of those happens. I think Telles, who's at Porto, is probably going to be the most likely of those deals. They're looking to kind of recoup the fee for him. But yeah, I think a surprise deal for Maitland-Niles could potentially happen.
What about Sancho, Hayley?
Well, I'm hoping Sancho will happen, and that would be the big headline on deadline day. But also, we have to factor in England meet up for their training camp with Gareth Southgate on deadline day. So if Sancho doesn't get a deal done by Monday, it could end up being a little bit tricky because he's supposed to be in a bubble with England. Yet he might have to go for a medical to Manchester. I'm not too sure. And the logistics of having to get to Manchester, or whether they would do that obviously at their base in London, or St George's Park, of course, isn't in London. It's you know, between the two. So whether he's in London or he's in the Northwest having a medical, if it happens on Monday, he'll at least be able to get to St George's Park. But I just don't know how they'll go about it with him linking up with England, what time he's supposed to be there, whether Gareth Southgate will let him go and do that. So I'm thinking maybe this will all happen over the weekend so they don't have the worry of that on Monday. But at least we know he's going to be back in the country flying in. And the reason he's flying in, it might be to come and sign for Manchester United, but obviously flying in to come and meet up with England. I saw United actually linked as well with N'Golo Kante. That would be massive and a massive surprise if Manchester United ended up going in for him.
Sancho's a glamour signing. He's the name. He would, I suppose, make the headlines. But is that what Manchester United really need right now?
Well, they need a striker.
I think they need
a centre back, and they need a left back. Yeah, yep. Someone to rival Luke Shaw a little bit, but more importantly, I think someone to go alongside Maguire.
Yes, because right now that is a real, real problem. And you think of all the amazing centre back pairings at Manchester United over the years. Now they're stuck without that. They don't have that. And I think that's going to be key to Manchester United this season, finishing in the top four. So if they don't sign a centre-back, they're looking at left-back options and someone up front, I think they'll be in serious, serious trouble. So I think the biggest headline would be if United don't land one of their big-name signings.
I read a piece this week which just completely mind-boggled me, how there are potentially 23 transfers that could still happen involving Chelsea. So it's needless to say, whatever happens on deadline day, there is going to be eyes on Chelsea. Probably, to be fair, definitely more players leaving than arriving. Declan Rice, though, is one that they're trying to make happen, isn't it? I think West Ham are holding out for more money.
He was incredible for West Ham against Wolves, I have to say.
Yeah, well, it's good. Just... sort of, I think it'll come down to the player, won't it, Lindsay? I get the feeling that West Ham are holding out for more money. But if he wants to go, should West Ham just take the cash?
I don't know. Because how do they replace him?
It's going to get late unless it's done quickly.
Yeah.
But he was at Chelsea, wasn't he, Declan Rice, until around the age of 14. He's said to be pushing for the move. So it is one of those situations where do you walk that tightrope of what the player wants and what the club needs on both accounts, I suppose.
We couldn't ask about it post-match. So that always really? Indicates to you, makes you think, doesn't it, that if you can't ask about something, it means that there might be something there. But I just thought that he shone in that match and he would really bring something. But then, you know, Conte does that in abundance anyway. You're sort of replacing like for like a little bit. I know that Conte's obviously not got that physical presence that Rice has got, but he is that terrier of a player, isn't he, that chases down everything. So I don't know whether that's the most important signing of this window for Chelsea, whereas I think keeping hold of Rice for West Ham is really
important
for them. Yeah. Well, you bringing up Chelsea actually brings me on to Frank Lampard, because he did confirm, didn't he, that Ruben Loftus-Cheek is available to be loaned out. He listed all these players that are available to be loaned. And that caught my attention, because off the back of going to that game where Wolves were slaughtered by West Ham 4-0, I do think that Neves and Moutinho in our midfield are just a little bit too similar. And we need something. Morgan Gibbs-White has gone to Swansea. We don't seem to be going with Leander Ndonka at the moment, although I do think maybe he'll get some game time against Fulham at the weekend. But I think we could do with somebody else in midfield. So I think Ruben Loftus-Cheek could be a really good option for Wolves, or maybe Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain from Liverpool as well. I think one of those sort of midfield players, one of those options that's going to drive the ball forward. I feel like Jimenez, and now that we don't have Jota, you've got Pedro Neto and Traore, they need to be fed more. I felt that everything was a bit disjointed against West Ham. And to be honest, it was the worst performance I've seen under Nuno. And it was in every area. I think the defence was weak, the midfield was weak, and up front we're just not getting any service. But that could potentially help a little bit. Yeah. So that's as a Wolves fan I'm speaking on that one.
Actually, originally Aston Villa were keen to sign Ruben Loftus-Cheek or Ross Barkley on loan. Obviously, Barkley's gone there on loan now. So that does mean, as you say, that there's a potential opening somewhere else for Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Although Southampton has been linked with him as well. And there's Kurt Zouma, who, you know, he needs to pushed to leave, doesn't he? And I know that he's on the available list, isn't he? He's been linked with a reunion at Everton, where he was loaned. That would be a great move for him as well. I mean, I've just generally been very impressed by Everton and the organisation and the players in there. Could Kurt Zouma fit in there, I suppose, is the question.
I do wonder if Kurt Zouma might be more middle table of the Premier League now. I don't know.
All these
loan deals,
ambitions, yeah, have outgrown him almost.
Well, at the moment, I mean, the way they've started this Premier League season, I would say maybe. I mean, he isn't going to go to Everton to want to be a backup option, is he?
No, I suppose not.
And I don't know whether he's playing as well as he was a few seasons ago.
Okay. Anyone else with anything else?
There is a Liverpool player, Kate, that I love watching, and I've loved watching over the years, that is getting no game time at all.
Are you talking about Shaqiri?
I am talking about Shaqiri. He's not made the 18 for any league match so far this season. Now, already in this transfer window, he's been linked with a move to Germany, actually. Three German clubs. He's an ex-Bayern Munich player, of course, but I think Mönchengladbach are in for him. Leverkusen and Wolfsburg have been linked. But I'd love to carry on watching him in the Premier League. I think he's a fantastic player. And I thought quite a good fit, potentially, could be Arsenal. I see him playing in that Arsenal team. And, you know, with Jota and Minamino, look, let's face it, there isn't going to be room at Liverpool. He doesn't want to just be a bench warmer. He's 28 years old. Let's get like 3, 4, 5 really good years out of him. He's a real talent. And I think it's just a shame that we're not getting to see it.
I guess it depends whether he would fit into that Arsenal side. Is he the right sort of player for them?
Well, he didn't do much wrong when he played for Liverpool. When he has been given his chances, he hasn't done much wrong. He just clearly doesn't fit into that system that Klopp goes with. But that's not his fault, is it? He hasn't really put a foot wrong, really.
No, it's true. Let's just mention Danny Rose and Dele Alli quickly. What do we perceive might happen to those two players?
I think you've got a feel for Dele Alli, don't you, really, at the moment? Having to, you know, consider his future, left out of the squad again for the Carabao Cup game with Chelsea. It's all about trying to prove to Mourinho that he's, you know, he works hard. I just think he's got a couple of days to do that. I think if Mourinho just doesn't quite fancy him, he doesn't quite fancy him, and he's too much of a talent just to sit and
yeah, he is.
Just be wasted. I can't really get my head around it at the moment, to be honest. But Mourinho's obviously just got a bit of a problem with him, and they need to sort that out.
Age-wise, they're in completely different places.
Yeah.
So Dele Alli is still, even though he feels like he's been talked about and been on the scene for so many years, is he 24 or 25? I lose track. I think he might even still only be 24. And he's got so many more years to show what he can do. That I actually think that this might be a little bit of a ploy by Mourinho to try and get something out of him, try and get a reaction. I think this could be a little bit of mind games going on, and I think Dele Alli's future may well still be with Spurs, and if not, it definitely will be with someone else. But the situation,
a massive coup for someone else,
a massive coup, but the situation for Danny Rose, I think, is a bit more bleak, because you're talking about someone who definitely hasn't got that many years at the very top of the game left. And as good a player as he is, we get from the documentary, from watching All or Nothing, that there weren't that many offers coming in, which concerns me. Maybe it's his wage demands, because I do think he can definitely do a job for many Premier League clubs. And there was that line, wasn't there, when he'd had an interest from Italy and he was saying, any word on that? I wonder if he just wants a completely new slate, something fresh, whether a move abroad would just really suit him rather than being in the Premier League.
He does need it. But you know what's worrying more from Danny Rose's point of view is that he's not been linked recently with going anywhere at all. If you have a little look at the activity around him, there's really not much. And that's the most concerning thing for him, is that
is wages, though. Maybe that is to do with wages. And how many people are in this time, how many people are going to take a real big punt on someone that's only got maybe a few years at the very highest level left? I don't know. It's a huge, huge ask of a club to really fork out. I don't know what his wage demands are, but I imagine they're quite high.
All right, ladies. Well, we'll round up there. We'll have to wait and see, of course, what's to come in the next few days. And good luck to you, Hayley, working on transfer deadline day as well. Up next, though, it's time for a football fix.
This is The Offside Rule with Kate Borsay, Lindsay Hooper and Hayley McQueen.
Well, I say football fix. What I mean is we're going to fix a few things that we might not like so much about football. There's been so many penalties this week. There's the fact that the handball, well, it's not making any sense at all, is it, a handball? It's changed beyond all recognition, that particular rule. So we're going to offside rule this. I'm going to list out six rules of the game, Hayley and Lindsay, and you're only allowed to keep three. This is quite tough, by the way. Tell me which three of these you'd like to keep and why. So I'll read out the list, you can have a quick consider, and then you'll tell me which you do and don't want to keep. So
before we get to this, can I just interject and say hallelujah, they've seen some sense. They are modifying the handball rule, by the way, for this weekend.
Good.
I know. Hopefully we won't have our head in our hands quite as much.
No, exactly. So those up for grabs to fix are, or just get rid of completely, corners, penalties, free kicks, the offside rules, subs, and yellow cards. So only red cards would remain, in other words. You've got six different rules. It's quite tough, this one. Tell me which three you want to keep, though, please. Hayley.
Did you agonise over this? This really took me a long time.
It's quite tough.
It's really, really hard. I've got sort of reasoning for each one in the end, but this took so long. It was torture.
Right, so we start with corners. Get rid. Doesn't cause me a problem to not have corners. Penalties, this is a tricky one because penalties in matches, fine, okay, if we're going to have to get rid, but you can't get rid of a penalty shootout because what on earth then happens? It'll just, a game will just go on and on and on. And surely that's part of the fun and the magic sometimes. Yes, so agonising to watch if you're you know, a fan of one of the two teams. You're in a stadium. One day we'll be back there. And you're having to watch a penalty shootout. It's horrible. I've turned my head and not watched on occasions when Manchester United have been involved. Yeah, because I felt sick.
I like to see everyone's faces.
It's all part of the excitement of it. There had been, do you remember a while back, Marco van Basten, the FIFA technical director, had said that they wanted to propose some new things, and one of them was replacing penalty shootouts with an 8-second run-up. Okay, that's right. Yet he also wanted to introduce orange cards to send players to the sin bin
for 10 minutes. Ridiculous.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. So I kind of would get rid of yellow cards and only have red cards. And I think that would maybe help with some of the behaviour issues on the pitch. We might see a little bit more discipline. Subs cannot get rid of, just simply because love seeing kind of the tactical changes that managers make. There's also, you don't want burnout from players. It's a great chance for some of the young players to come on into a game and get a chance that they might not otherwise have had. But I think, again, just for your squad rotation.
Mm-hmm. So far, Hayley, you are keeping penalties and subs.
Subs, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm keeping subs as well, so I'm with Hayley on that one. And I also think for injuries, I mean, those are just situations you cannot account for, and that just really wouldn't be fair. So I think subs have to be kept. And I'm also with Hayley in getting rid of yellow cards. I think that's one that we can get rid of. But she kept penalties, and I think because you're getting rid of yellow cards, you can therefore get rid of penalties, because then you'll have straight reds. So if there was a really, really bad tackle in the box, it would be a straight red card anyway, and then you're getting the advantage of having the extra man, because it would just be a sending off. So I'm trying to reason it in that way. I tell you what I can't get rid of. I can't get rid of free kicks, because I think over the years, you think David Beckham's free kick against Greece that sent us to the 2002 World Cup, those moments in time. Right now in the Premier League, free kick takers, Harry Wilson, James Ward-Prowse, Trent Alexander-Arnold, they're things of beauty. It's like an art form watching free kicks. And then over time as well, Ronaldinho, Maradona, they were just brilliant free kick takers. I can't get rid of free kicks in football. I just can't do it. So I'm going to keep those. I think that you need to keep offside, because otherwise you just have goal hangers, wouldn't you?
And also, ladies, where would we be?
Where would we be? There would be no offside rule.
This is a pivotal branding issue, absolutely essential to the success of the future of this podcast, right?
Absolutely. Exactly. And I think you'd have so much, you know, punting long balls forward, which we've tried to move away from. You wouldn't have the tippy-tappy, lovely football that we've seen from Barcelona and Spain over the years when they won the World Cup.
Yeah. It's more intelligent football, isn't it? I know, obviously, there's criticism. Things can be a little bit too tight and compact. But at the end of the day, it does make players think, and it makes the tactical kind of battles play out a lot more interestingly, doesn't it?
So this is another one where I'm with Hayley, is getting rid of corners. And the justification is, I think you can just have throw-ins, can't you? So every time the ball goes behind in what ordinarily would have been a corner, you just have a throw-in, and throw-in takers. And you mentioned this on the podcast last week, Kate, about throw-in coaches. We could get them in at every single football club. Throw-ins, it's so important at clubs, because we've seen people making an absolute shambles of it at the very, very height of Premier League football.
This could become a feature of modern football. It could be all about the throw-in, couldn't it? I actually thought I might hang on to corners, just because I quite like a nice, well-worked corner. It kind of fits into the organised side of my brain. I quite like it. But That would mean, because I'm a fan of keeping subs, same reasons as you guys, really. They can change a game. It helps other players, particularly in, you know, with large squads and young English talent as well. It gives everyone an opportunity. Can't get rid of penalties. I'm not so bothered about penalties in games, but you can't get rid of penalty shootouts. And I group them both in together. We would never have had Liverpool versus AC Milan Champions League final 2005 without, of course, that game would never have been as epic as it was without the penalty shootout. Italy versus France World Cup 2006, Hayley Man U Chelsea Champions League final 2008. We would never have had those amazing moments were it not for the penalty shootout. So I was going to say corners, pens and subs, but I think I'm going to have to scrap corners because I can't get rid of the offside rule, even though it can get quite convoluted and a bit fussy and it can be messy sometimes, can't it? And it can sometimes stop the natural flow of play because everyone's so aware of it. I'm just purely for my own selfish reasons, we can't get rid of the offside rule. So in summary, penalties are going to stay according to myself and Hayley.
Getting rid of them. So what does that mean? You're getting rid of free kicks?
Well, you went for free kicks. You also went for offside, which I went for too. All of us went for subs. So subs are definitely staying. And then based on the votes, the penalties stay and the offside rule stays.
Wow. more free kicks.
So there you go, ladies. We've completely repackaged football. You can let us know if that's a load of old nonsense or not by getting involved or telling us which three rules you want to keep and why at Offside Rule Pod on the socials for that one. Next up, it's forfeit time.
I'm just bringing up YouTube. I'm just going to have to watch old ones, old free kicks over and over. Yes, that music means one thing and one thing only. The Offside Rule WSL edition is back.
Woohoo! And the WSL is bigger and better than ever before.
Which means we need to do the same.
And that's why we've got interviews with the biggest names.
The brightest minds in the game.
As well as all the in-depth match analysis you've come to know and love.
Just search for the Offside Rule WSL edition, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or you can find us ad-free on the Athletic app. That's the Offside Rule WSL edition, out every Tuesday. Next up, football forfeits. I'd be careful how I use my F's, won't I? Now, there are occasionally forfeits involved in the game of football, but one particular area of football that's even worse for forfeits, mainly because of the people involved, is fantasy football. I don't know whether you two ladies have ever been involved in a fantasy football themed forfeit.
Only having to buy someone tea and cake, pretty tame. That's not too bad.
Pretty tame compared to the story that we heard this week, Lindsay and Hayley. One poor guy who came bottom of his fantasy football league, his forfeit was to be painted gold and forced to be a football statue for the day. This is a six-a-side team based in Greenwich near me. The league's called How Soonest Now, and they've basically said that they do a forfeit every year for the loser. But this year they had to get a bit inventive. They had to do something socially distanced. So they painted this poor guy gold, stood him in the middle of town as one of those, you know, human statues. And they even had a gold mask for him travelling on public transport, which I thought was a rather nice touch, actually.
It's genius, so incredible, and a lot of effort.
A lot of effort indeed. Can you imagine how uncomfortable it would have been? Because it was quite chilly on Saturday, wasn't it? Can you imagine how chilly it would have been to be painted gold and just be left stood still statue?
I'll bet they didn't think about how it was going to come off, whether it's washable or non-soluble. That's all I kept thinking about. How's he going to get it off? How's he going to clean himself? Is he just going to get in the shower? He's going to need a very big scrubbing brush for that.
Some overthinking there from Hayley McQueen. Right. So I want your football forfeits, please. We know Lynn's has been involved in one. Hayley, have you ever been subject to a football forfeit of any type?
Not really a forfeit. We all know the story about when I had to be the club mascot abroad, but it wasn't really a forfeit. It was more of the gentleman that was being the mascot wasn't able to do it, and I was kind of dared to do it. I was like, fine, go on then. So I became Rory the Lion for the day.
But that is was that when you vomited in the lion's mask?
It's so hot in its face. I know, right? Wonderful.
It was a forfeit for the guy who returned the week after.
Yeah, can you imagine the smell in that mask?
That was a problem in the first place. There have been a lot of kind of initiations, haven't there, at football clubs? I know quite a few, you know, friends who've played football who have to do the kind of running around a pitch naked or having to stand up and sing a song where they kind of do the initiation. But as for forfeits, it definitely gets better when you're in a first team environment, because the forfeits become far more embarrassing, put it that way. I've got one involving John Terry here. And I remember this because he was reminded of it. He missed a crucial penalty, of course, in Champions League final. And just after this, they were reminded about what was happening in training at Chelsea. He said they used to strip for penalties. He said a group would go out after training had finished and we'd get a five-a-side match going. And basically, you'd have to take off an item of clothing every time you missed a penalty. And he said, you know, some of us would just end up stood there completely naked, hitting balls into the net with other balls all over the place. Ooh, not the best picture to be thinking of.
Goodness. Surely you'd have to be very, very careful about certain parts of the body. You've just reminded me of that bit of footage that was going around earlier in the year when Harry Redknapp went to go and see a naked football team. Do you remember? I think it was, were they based here or based in France? It's just France, right off the top of my head. Harry Redknapp having to deal with a completely naked naked football team.
You're talking about initiation songs. I interviewed Matt Doherty, who's joined Spurs last week, and he said that he chose Backstreet Boys to do in front of the whole squad.
It's just really amusing, isn't it? Because how do you carry off a boy band? It's a bit too close to home, isn't it? I think I'd probably just go for something really, really different and stupid. There was an Athletic article over the summer. This is kind of a forfeit, but it's more going down the line of sort of dressing room fines. And it suggested that Mikel Arteta uses a Wheel of Fortune to decide punishments for his Arsenal players, with forfeits including fines, cleaning the dressing room, or apparently one of them was polishing Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's cars. So a bizarre list of punishments there. You can probably look it up still via The Athletic.
That brings me on beautifully, Kate, because if you got the vision of what Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's cars are like now, it brings me on beautifully to a story from David James' days at Portsmouth when he was a goalkeeper there. Because what they used to do at Pompey was they used to name a worst trainer. And if you were named the worst trainer, then you would have a big forfeit at the end of the season. And what David James had to do for winning that accolade was he had to drive around in an old Reliant Robin. Do you remember those three-wheeler cars?
I remember this story, yeah.
And not only did he have to drive around in this car, the whole squad chipped in for it. They bought it and they had a loudspeaker attached. And every time he turned the engine on, it played Animal Farm noises.
Oh my goodness.
So,
how did he fit in?
in an old Reliant Robin. But nowadays, see, Conte, we talked about him earlier, he drives in a little Mini Cooper, doesn't he? Is it a Mini Cooper he drives?
Aww.
But very understated. And nowadays, you know, you turn up to training grounds and there's all Porsches and Lamborghinis and Ferraris. But I like the thought of a little Reliant Robin.
Leeds United did it actually back in the 2000s when Jonathan Woodgate was there. They had a vote. It was Plonker of the Week. It's such a wonderful term, plonker. He was forced to leave his own car at the training ground for a whole week again as well, with Peter Ridsdale finding it absolutely hilarious. He was a chairman at the time. And Jonathan Woodgate drove a Reliant Robin. He said, my goodness, I thought it was Trotter's independent trainers turning up, to be honest. But yeah, he did it. He drove back home to his place in Middlesbrough, up the A1 and back again. Probably took him three times as long to get home and back.
This must have been an era when they could pick up a Reliant Robin for pretty cheaper.
Yeah, that was still legal on the road. Carlos Tevez, oh my goodness. Do you remember when he was subbed for West Ham against Sheffield United? This was way back in 2006. He stormed out of Upton Park and left. So Alan Pardew decided to let the squad decide what punishment to give him. So they got together, had a bit of a meeting, said, you know, we're obviously going to punish Carlos. You can't just leave. You come back out to the bench, or you sit in the changing room, gather your thoughts, get treatment if needed, whatever. But you join back up with the squad. He just disappeared. So they made him donate £1,000 to charity. But he obviously plays for Argentina. And they made him, well, they tried to make him wear a Brazil shirt for a week in training. And Tevez said, you know, I just couldn't train in a Brazil shirt. I wouldn't do it. He said, it was like asking an Englishman to wear a German kit. He said, I'd never do it. It's too much to wear. I'd rather give all my money away than wear my country's rival strip.
I wonder if many other players would be happy to forfeit all of their money for wearing a shirt from a rival country.
Anyone who plays FIFA, I don't know whether you do, girls, but I know quite a few friends that play FIFA nowadays. There's quite a lot of forfeits that you get for playing the game. I suppose it makes it more interesting. And I just picked out a few. There's so many, by the way, if you look online, so many if you start playing. A few that I liked. If you score a hat-trick with Neymar, then your opponent must dye their hair an outlandish colour. If you score a hat-trick with Andy Carroll, then your opponent must visit the nearest sweet shop, find the cheapest chocolate bar available, and then insist on paying four times the amount for it. If you score with Adama Traore, then your opponent must challenge a stranger to a running race, but insist on giving them a head start.
And this you get the gist. Challenges in real life after playing a computer game.
Yes. Okay. So if you challenge someone, this is big stuff now, Kate, in gaming world. If you're playing FIFA and you've got a real big war going on with a friend.
But then how do they know that person's done the forfeit? They have to send in...
Make them post it nowadays on social media and things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So for instance, if you lose by 10 goals, which would be quite the drubbing, wouldn't it? Using a custom greeting card website of your choice, you must create a bespoke card for the victor. So you post it to them, apologising for your shameful manner of your defeat. And one that I picked out, which I really liked as well. If you score a goal from open play with your goalkeeper, your opponent must then purchase and wear goalie gloves for your next game.
But it's not in real life.
I'm not going to be able to convince you,
I think my old head struggles with that. Like, they have to wear a pair of goalkeeper gloves for their next game. What, so they have to game with a pair of goalkeeper gloves on?
You wouldn't be able to do it properly, would you? So
you wouldn't be able to. Then you'd have a disadvantage again. Then you'd probably lose by the 10 goals and then have to do the custom greeting card for the next one.
Well, I'm never entering into the world of FIFA then after that.
No, but Arthur might. She might be buying some goalkeeper gloves for him in the future.
My son will be banned. He's basically too interested in playing Roblox and Adopt Me games and stuff like that at the moment. Anyway, let's round up with any other business. All right, so any other business, the smaller stories from the week that you might have missed. Did you see this, ladies? It's completely bonkers. It's to do with regulations surrounding football clubs and coronavirus. And basically, Corinthian Casuals, who are a side in the Isthmian League Premier Division, they're one below in terms of tiers Dulwich Hamlet. And because of that, Corinthian Casuals are unable to admit supporters of Dulwich Hamlet into their FA Cup second round qualifying fixture at the weekend. So because they're from different steps, as they're called, or tiers, one set of fans can't visit the other club because they happen to be from the league above. It's completely bonkers. People have gone a bit mad about it on social media. The club, Corinthian Casuals, issued a statement basically saying, as the coronavirus is clearly clever enough to differentiate between supporters of Step 2 and Step 3 clubs, in their wisdom, supporters of National League clubs, which include Dulwich Hamlet, are banned from spectating. We'd like to place on record that as a club, we're not in favour of this utterly baffling ruling. We believe it's wholly unnecessary and we're going to have to put these restrictions in place under duress. It does seem a bit bonkers, doesn't it?
So we're obviously desperate to try and get back into stadiums as fans. The Premier League have tried to come up with a way of helping. Now, we all worry, don't we, about fans being crammed together on public transport, especially for some of the London or the London clubs going on the underground. It's different if you're kind of heading to the Midlands, North East, North West. A lot of people tend to drive and try and find parking, but then we're all, you know, in pubs. before the game. Well, a lot of people go to pubs, don't they? So the Premier League are hoping that by stopping people from using their cars, stopping people from using public transport is going to help, because they're going to use bicycles instead.
What?
Yeah, one of the ideas is hiring out bikes for fans to get to Premier League grounds, because obviously they are worried about public transport issues. Yeah.
Really? And
other ideas include providing extra car parking space and liaising with train companies to run enough services so that they can have as many fans but socially distanced,
yeah,
on trains. But yeah, I just think it's kind of going back to when we introduced the Boris bikes in London, which actually were a massive hit and still are a hit now. But I just don't quite see how that's going to work when you've...
What, with thousands of football fans sort of,
yes,
using them?
It's, how would you know which one was your bike afterwards?
I know. Where, yeah, do they get parked? All the logistics of it. It just gives me a headache.
No cycle helmets
about
either.
It.
Really busy roads often,
exactly,
to get across town. And it obviously relies on fans being,
yeah,
being back in stadiums.
Yeah,
so
you might want to have
early.
You might want to have a lager or a glass of wine or something around the game. You're not going to be able to get on a bike. Goodness me.
By the time all of this nonsense is over with COVID and everything, they might have advanced those jetpacks. We might be onto something with those. Yeah. You never know. Have you guys seen the lineup for the Graham Norton show in October?
Yes. Oh, my,
yeah,
God, yes.
So no. Arsene Wenger is going to be a guest. This is for the episode on October the 16th.
That's,
he'll be sat,
cool,
alongside Dawn French, Freddie Flintoff, Michael Kiwanuka and Samuel L. Jackson as well.
What a lineup.
So that's one to tune in for. I'm hoping that they get a little bit of dirt on him leaving Arsenal and the,
yeah,
new role at,
yeah,
FIFA.
I'd like Samuel L. Jackson to take over the questioning of Arsene Wenger. I think that that could be the most interesting pairing if they start sort of chatting and riffing away on the sofa. Here's a quick one for you, lady. Maccabi Haifa have issued... Now, this is the clean version of this before producer Abby starts sweating. There is a naughtier version going around on social media, but Maccabi Haifa have issued an apology to Tottenham after one of their players made a bit of a degrading comment about Harry Kane in a video. It went viral. Haifa defender Mohamed Abu Fani, I think that's how it's pronounced, posted a short clip suggesting Kane would be on his genitals. This is the polite way of saying it, when the two clubs meet in the Europa League playoff on Thursday. You might have to look that up on social media, folks, if you're listening, to get the full benefit of how that's so hilarious.
Yeah, I've actually just, when I was just Googling Graham Norton to see if he was a football fan, he has chatted about football before. He got Hugh Jackman to say it. You know, he was a big Norwich fan, but I'm not quite sure Graham is a big football fan himself. But apparently Jurgen Klopp turned down appearing on the Graham Norton show just last year. So there you go. After winning the league, he then decided that he didn't want to be on the Graham Norton show. I think he'd be a wonderful addition to the programme. OK, this isn't like really new news, but when I was doing a bit of research about forfeits and forfeiting things in football, I did come up with this story from the Romanian Football League, which is quite incredible. The whole team didn't turn up for a game. They forfeited it. The rival team were basically awarded a 3-0 win. Why? Why is this? OK, well, this was a statement from the club. Today is a very special day. Our friend and teammate, Delia Oinut, I think that's how you pronounce his name. Apologies, Delia. He's going to marry his beloved wife, Diana. Due to attending this important appointment, we decided to forfeit the game against CS Sarcea. We asked the Soccer Association to change the date of the game. Our request was denied. He said, we decided to go to the wedding, even if the result was to lose three important points, because in exchange for that, we gained friendship and love.
Oh, how nice. Sometimes it's important to remember the kinder things in life. Yes. Why was it a 3-0 victory, though? It seems a bit random.
I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lovely picture of them on social media. We lost a match, but we won a family.
Oh, well, listen, I've got a little note of joy to end this podcast
upworthy.
With. Upworthy. Did everyone see, and if you haven't, look it up, because it is quite cute, Jose Mourinho and his assistant Yao Sacramento after the game against Chelsea, which they won. There's a little clip of them sort of running into the dressing room area and then skipping. So if you want to see Jose Mourinho skipping, look it up on social media, and there's a lovely little clip of the Portuguese doing a little skippity skip skip. I love it.
I can also add to that as well, if you find the picture that's doing the rounds, they're linking arms and Jose,
yes,
Mourinho sort of tucked, aww, under, and someone's comment was, this is how I link arms with my nan. It's really funny.
Aww. All right, ladies. Well, that's it for this week's show. Thank you very much for listening. If you're out there, if we're plugged in via your headphones, your smart speaker, or however else you're listening to us, you can remember to keep up with all things Offside Rule by heading over to @OffsideRulePod on Twitter and on Insta. And don't forget, we have our website, offsideRulePodcast.com. Plenty on there to digest. Hayley, you've got a mini celebration of your own this weekend.
Yes, it's Ayla's first birthday. I can't believe, cliche, how the time has flown, but it really has. I can't believe she's the big one.
Aww, has she got her first football kit yet, Hayley?
Yes, she was given a Scotland kit by my colleagues up at Sky Scotland. So that was nice, with little socks. And she had a baby grow, football baby grow, Scotland kit, with the number 5 on the back, which is the number my dad used to play in. So we put her in that when Scotland played, when she was just a few weeks old, actually. But she hasn't got a Man United kit or a Real Madrid kit or anything else like that. I'm going to wait till she gets a little bit older for her to decide. She might even pick a German team because of my other half. Not that he has any clue about any
she
football
team. She might support
Liverpool,
Hayley.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Lindsay, where are we going to see you next?
Oh, I've got quite a lot of travel to do this weekend. So I'm at Sheffield Wednesday against QPR on Saturday, and then I've got Wolves Fulham on Sunday. So a bit of travel there.
Yeah.
Would love to remind everyone as well, if you are enjoying the show this season, please leave us a rating and review wherever you get the show. That would be fantastic, because it does help other people find us as well. So please do that.
Yes, please do. And leave a little review too. We love to hear from you. All right. Well, ladies, we shall speak again this time next week.
Absolutely.
Same time,
until
same
then.
Place.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Offside Rule, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Keep up to date with everything offside at offsiderulepodcast.com and by following @OffsideRulePod on Twitter and Insta. Check out all of The Athletic's football podcasts on Apple, Spotify and the usual places, or listen ad-free on the Athletic app. The Offside Rule is a Muddy Knees Media production.
I'm Adam Leventhal, and I'm here to tell you about the latest podcast from The Athletic, Beyond the Headline. We're going to be taking an even deeper look at some of the extraordinary stories that have captured the football world.
It just looks like the most sort of miserable marriage. It's been a loveless marriage from day one, really.
We've got the most authoritative voices in football to take you right to the heart of the action.
That season was just such a toxic, I mean, it was the most unbelievable season I think I've covered, and there've been a few of those.
It all starts on September 21st with a 3-part special on Newcastle United and the takeover that never was.
The lack of ambition in the club in the last 10, 12 years has flattened people in this city. I think it could be a legacy lost.
That's Beyond the Headline, the latest podcast from The Athletic. Available wherever you get your podcasts or get it ad-free via the Athletic app.
Muddy Knees Media.